Imagine this. Ronan Lynch kisses with his eyes wide open, because otherwise he is afraid he might be dreaming. A Tumblr Ficlet by Mombi and read by Revolutionary Joe. It's because they're in his bed at Monmouth, and he's had this exact dream so many times. At the Barnes it's different. At St. Agnes it's different. Hell, even naps in Cabeswater are different. Those are places he inhabits with wakefulness and awareness. The awareness that comes from being amplified by a place and feeling too big for your skin. But here, he simply is. Here he is not a king or a god or a worshipper. Here he is a boy who dances with sleep, sometimes leading and sometimes following, who knows the cracks on his ceiling like he knows the back roads of Henrietta, who sometimes dreams of tangled sheets and tingling lips and the rush of blood to every point of contact, who wakes up alone, who just this evening had tangled sheets and tingling lips and the rush of blood to every point of contact, and then passed into dreaming alone, who woke up just now with sleep-bleary eyes and a glow-in-the-dark clock, not a dream, a gag gift from Gansey, telling him that it's just after 3:30 a.m., and Adam Parrish is still next to him. Here, amidst this haphazard collection of impossible things, an impossible boy. All those dreams, and he had never once dared to hope. But it has to be real, doesn't it? That's what waking up means, bringing yourself through to fruition, reborn every day with weight and want and need and being, knowing. He knows. He thinks he knows. He traces his finger down the slope of Adam's shoulder, where the shine of pale skin in the light of the street lamp bleeds into the shine of pale sheets. Dreaming, bleeding into reality. Hope is a form of dreaming, right? Adam stirs, and Ronan pulls his hand away. He doesn't mean to wake him, would never mean to take him from sleep, any more than he would mean to take him from anything else Adam finds important. Adam wakes anyway. He rolls onto his side so that he's facing Ronan, and looks at him with heavy lids. He yawns and stretches, and settles again, and reaches out to run his hand gently over Ronan's head. The pleasant tug of his fingers against Ronan's short hairs is so satisfying. Adam's hand comes to rest against his cheek, and Ronan tilts his head into it, body heavy with sleep, but still drawn to Adam's touch, like Adam's gravity and the Earth's gravity have equal weight. They don't. The tug of Adam is so much stronger. "You're awake," Adam says, voice low. Ronan hums his reply. "God," Adam says. He takes a deep breath, and then exhales, long and slow. "God, God." And the word sounds different every time. "God, the dark suits you. God, I never knew there was touch like this. God, our bodies are a riot in the quiet night." Ronan agrees, but words are insufficient. So he kisses Adam instead. Because he wants to. Because he wants to prove that they're real. That this moment is made of flesh and blood. Adam closes his eyes, already halfway back to sleep. But Ronan keeps his open, and clings to this. Up close, Adam's freckles blur into one another. His eyelids twitch with the restless movement of his eyes beneath them. Ronan slides his hand around Adam's lower back and pulls him closer. Adam's eyelashes flutter, then still. They fan out large against the gentle slope of his cheek. He of impossible being, he of passionate boyhood, he of crackling magic straining against the frame of one of the people Ronan loves most in the world. He. It was always going to be a he, Ronan knows now. But he feels lucky that it's this he, that it's him, that Adam wants him back. That he's willing to tangle himself up in Ronan's sheets and Ronan's limbs. That he'll give parts of himself to Ronan, parts he'd previously been holding so tightly. So Ronan keeps his eyes open, watches for the threshold between asleep and awake, and makes sure to keep his promise to find Adam on either side of the divide.